Hello and welcome. It's good of you to join me. If you're returning to the series, you'll know that our overall structure is the seven C's of consulting, so the client consulting experience. In this session, we're making the transition from the conversations around creating the solution concept and vision to the conversations that drive change. So in this episode and the next, I thought it'd be interesting to share with you how to set up for success and avoid failure. Now, in this session, I'm going to share a few of my failures and lessons learned. So we'll talk about conditions for success next time. But my core message is that your change implementation approach, so the change journey, is something you design and benefits from design conversations. Specifically, I'm encouraging you to apply divergent thinking before, you know, converging on your plan of approach. Divergent thinking here means learning from experience and learning from others. So planning is an exercise initially not best conducted in isolation. As I said, I'm going to share some stories. In fact, I'm going to share three. I must stress these are from my earlier project and program management career and absolutely before my time at Catalyst and Psionic. So those organizations should not be tarnished with my errors. So the first story relates to a large systems implementation. This was a core application, deal capture, booking, accounting, scale of the project, 1.5 years, more than 60 people, an additional major data migration effort, and with absolutely one data migration event, one big bang go live. Now, the good news is we did deliver it on time, or well, maybe a little late, but only a little late. However, the initial user experience once we were in production and gone live was just horrible. Just so many bugs and data issues and a backlog of cleaning that up. And people lost all confidence with the system. In fact, I was in staff restaurant. I overheard a conversation between staff along the lines of, you know, what idiot was responsible for this? This is a disaster. And I overheard this and I slunk out of the area, just not really wanting to be recognized as the project manager responsible for this. So what lessons did I learn? Well, there were some obvious lessons, I suppose. And the first was, you know, don't cut your testing and QA time to hit a date. I was under enormous pressure to hit the date, contractual pressure, and all the rest of it. And it was a temptation I fell into. I have to admit, I compressed the time that I originally thought would be necessary for testing. The other thing was the data migration, that data conversion, turned out to be a huge project in its own right. And we just didn't see coming all of the underlying issues of the historical data and the need to do all that data cleansing and a whole set of reconciliations, bringing across financial balances and client records. So that was another part of the nightmare. But all of that said, if I stand back a bit further, there is an even more important lesson here, and that is to avoid this big bang implementation and the big waterfall that sits behind it. I've just been looking at Oxford University Business School study 2011. You know, like many of these studies, they found large IT projects on average 27% overspent and 55% longer than originally planned. In fact, their conclusion, large IT projects are 20 times more likely to spin out of control than others. So what do we take away from this? Well, the title of this episode, you know, think big, sure, have your vision, and that's necessary, but absolutely start small. Do not try and bite the whole thing off in one chunk. I recall here a rule of thumb I picked up many, many years ago from an IBMer, and they talk about 6x6. So the ideal project size being 6 people for 6 months. That can be quite a challenge when you look at the scale perhaps of what you're trying to do. But here is your first divergent inquiry to take away, to have with your client and colleagues. And I think the question is, what meaningful value can we create if we limit the first piece to 6 people for 6 months? Moving on to my second story now. This one involves a software product. It was a package we were adapting for the UK market, for the UK regulatory and accounting environments, and as we adapted also to implement it at a handful of initial UK clients. Now, I have to say, this piece of work was a total runaway. We envisaged it as 6 months initially. We ended up completing it in some fashion 3 years down the road. The team we started with, slightly less than 20 people. We ended up with a team at peak of over 120. I was the project manager responsible, and I have to say that was 3 years of living hell. It really was a nightmare. I still carry the scars. Perhaps this podcast is still part of my therapy. And what are the lessons learned? Well, interesting. I learned the hard way one of the rules of software development projects, which is that adding more people to a late running project will inevitably have the consequence of making that project run later. It's exactly what I did. We got behind the curve. Things were taking longer than they should, so we added some more people. Obviously, they're less productive, created communication overhead, so things are running slow. Add more people. That solution, every time you apply that solution, it leads to new problems. The answer, in fact, with hindsight, I think that's one we should just have put on pause and completely reconsidered. But, you know, given time, I think I've learned a deeper lesson from this experience. And I've seen this come out in some of the more current project and lean startup methodologies. And the point is this, you know, test your key assumptions early. Now, in the situation that I'm describing here, the root cause of the underlying productivity issue was the software itself within the package, it turned out, was of extremely poor quality. So kind of we assumed we were just going to kind of be building and testing the modifications, but we ended up sort of rewriting pretty much every module, every line of code, retesting the whole thing. So what is my message here? And I think this brings me to the second inquiry, divergent inquiry when you're considering your change program. And the first part of that is, what are our most critical assumptions? So identifying the business assumptions or the technical assumptions you're making on which your whole concept will either stand or fall. And the second inquiry is, what experiments can we design to test these assumptions early? So small experiments. This is an approach in Lean Startup known as validated learning. So, you know, build, measure, learn. In the story I've just shared with you, we could have run some simple experiments to assess the underlying quality of the code that we're about to attack. But there we are, benefit of hindsight. Now, my third and thankfully final disaster story, although I've probably had more than I'm telling here, relates to a process re-engineering and automation project. It was a really good idea to implement image processing technologies and telephone call center technologies to modernize the claims process within a fairly major insurance company. So a lot of emphasis here on new technology. The good news was the technology worked and it delivered, and it was pretty amazing at the time. The bad news was that the people just didn't know how to operate the technology, and that was a massive blind spot. So within the first 3 months of operation, I don't know how this is possible, but we'd managed to set up a 6-month claims backlog. And if you know processes like this, this puts you into a death spiral, a kind of a reinforcing. People aren't getting their paperwork responded to, so they start telephoning up and sending chasers. Dealing with those telephone calls and those chasers is additional work, and that just adds to the backlog. And we needed a massive task force and an effort to dig ourselves out of that hole. So what went wrong? What did we learn? I think with hindsight now, quite simply, all of our focus was on getting the technology working, solving the technical problems. What we didn't see is what in some of the literature they call the adaptive challenges. So we're talking about when people and behaviors need to change, then this is not a technical problem. It's a completely different challenge. And to address that challenge, you have to think about what skills are we giving people, what support are we giving people, what are the metrics that we're going to track to make sure that performance is going, what are the incentives, how do we bring line management into line, and so on and so forth. So this distinction of a technical problem versus an adaptive challenge is really brought to life. Highly recommended book, Leadership on the Line, by Heivitz and Linsky. So that might be something for you to research and learn later. But their central tenet is that the most common cause of leadership failure is to address an adaptive challenge as if it were a technical problem. In fact, in the story I've just related to you, we didn't even see the adaptive challenge. So for you, constructively, the next conversation and divergent inquiry looking at any change program would be to ask yourselves, what are the technical problems and what are the adaptive challenges? What can we see coming down the line from an adaptive point of view that we need to manage? Another little story, maybe this one's a success story. So knowing what I do now, we were looking at a significant change program just a few months ago with a client of ours, and we were all about to kind of sign off on the plan and get going. And within that workshop or that meeting, we ran an inquiry called a future pre-mortem. It's very much the sort of thing a consultant would do, but actually it's a very good exercise. Just said to everybody on the call in the meeting, imagine we're in the future, we're a year and a bit down the road, and for whatever reason, this isn't working well. Now ask yourself, applying future hindsight, if you like, what have been the things that have tripped us up? So in a future pre-mortem, you're asking yourself, standing in the future, oh dear, what went wrong? What didn't we think about? That was a great exercise. In this situation, I think it serviced over a dozen specific adaptive challenges. And forewarned is most definitely forearmed. I trust you found those short stories interesting and illuminating. I think actually you can learn a lot from failure as well as success, and it's always enjoyable to hear about somebody else's failures, hopefully not your own. So what can you take away from this? Well, first of all, you can conclude, Chris, you are really, really a poor project manager. I can see now why you're a coach and an educator, and I think perhaps you might be right on that. But I guess practically to take away, let me just recap the key inquiries here. Designing your solution pathway and your implementation pathway, I highly recommend you start with some divergent thinking. Along these lines, how can we avoid any kind of a big bang or a big waterfall project here. So what could we deliver using six people for 6 months? Could also ask what are our critical assumptions and what experiments can we design and conduct to test those assumptions before we commit resources. And then finally, you know, what are the adaptive challenges that we need to recognize at the outset and to include countermeasures for in our plan? Okay, that's it for today. Next time, perhaps on a happier note, I'm going to be sharing some research into the conditions for success and how you can achieve those. So until then, thank you for listening. This is Chris.